From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arospeña with your state and local news update. Over the weekend, Juneau City officials warned of the potential for historic avalanches, prompting a voluntary evacuation of one downtown neighborhood. Most residents stayed with relatives or friends in town, but a few spent Saturday night at Centennial Hall, where the city and the Red Cross set up an evacuation center. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton has more.
Heavy, wet snow, a kind of slush, was falling in Juneau on Saturday night. It's the kind of snow you can hear hitting the ground with a splash. And it's really hard to shovel. It's like lifting a couple gallons of water. It wasn't much better at the top of Mount Juneau, where the same wet concrete snow was piling up on top of this winter's very unstable snowpack. Juneau's urban avalanche forecast was for extreme danger on Saturday. That's a 5 on a scale that goes to 5. The city's emergency manager, Tom Matisse, said it was the first time he'd ever forecasted an extreme avalanche condition for Juneau. It was also the first time since 2008 that the city recommended that people in the Barron's Avenue neighborhood near downtown evacuate their homes. The Barron's Avenue avalanche path runs down Mount Juneau on the side facing Gastineau Channel near Juneau Douglas High School. It's obvious where the path is, especially in summer when you can see a distinct lack of trees. At the bottom of the path is 3 rows of houses.
I knocked on 39 doors today. A couple more on the edges of the avalanche path, but that's how many houses I knocked on and logged in my record.
I talked to Tom Matisse at the city's evacuation center on Saturday night. He said most people are staying at friends' houses or hotels.
There are several people that had motorhomes or boats and a lot of people with relatives in town. And so we wanted to make sure that we had people that had an option.
So the city teamed up with the Red Cross and opened up Centennial Hall. Only a few people registered to stay overnight, but it's busy with volunteers. One of the ballrooms is set up with about 6 white tents, each with a few cots inside, so families can stay together and spread out from other groups of people, both for privacy and COVID-19 safety. Michelle Brown is a Juneau City employee and a Red Cross volunteer.
You can see the little tents. We've got a wool blanket, we've got a fleece blanket, we've got pillows in there for folks. So we're set up to be able to help with the whole situation if it comes to that.
2 officers with Juneau Animal Control are here too, so that people can bring their pets with them, or even drop them off if they need to stay somewhere their pets can't. They have a few cat carriers and some leashes at the ready. Jordan Bales is one of the animal control officers.
What we're offering is, holding people's animals for up to 10 days if need be, free of charge.
No pets are here yet, but someone stopped by earlier to say his cat had run away in the avalanche zone. They filed a lost pet report for him and are hopeful the cat will be found. The next day, the avalanche advisory was high, but no longer extreme, and there didn't end up being any slides in the Barron's Avenue area. The forecast for Sunday was for colder temperatures and less precipitation, so even though conditions were right for large avalanches, Matisse wrote in his report that, quote, "We may have dodged a bullet for the time being on the big one." For now, that top layer of new snow, called the storm slab, doesn't seem like it's going to come down. It's deep enough, though, that an avalanche would reach the houses at the bottom of the avalanche path. And underneath that storm slab is a deeper layer of snow from earlier in the year called the persistent weak layer. If that layer slid down the hill with everything on top of it, that avalanche would go all the way past the houses and Glacier Avenue and down to Gastineau Channel. And that persistent weak layer of snow is still there. And Matisse says it's there under the snow throughout the entire region.
This year is going to be dangerous, and this year is going to be spooky, and it may not end until all the snow is gone in the spring.
On Sunday, Matisse went up the Dan Moeller Trail on Douglas Island. He said he saw what he called 30 to 100-year avalanches, meaning really big ones, the kinds that snap off branches and knock whole trees down. There's still significant danger in the backcountry and in urban areas, and there's more rain and snow in the forecast for this week. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
In other news, canine companions are a dime a dozen across Alaska. But now a dime-sized fragment of dog bone, more than 10,000 years old, has given researchers new clues about how domesticated dogs first made their way to the Americas. KSTK's Sage Smiley reports.
Examining a pinto bean-sized bone fragment, the scientist thought she was analyzing an ancient bear bone.
We have a sort of a long-standing project working on bear bones from these caves.
Charlotte Lundquist is an associate professor of biology at the State University of New York at Buffalo. Caves dot all over the Alexander Archipelago in southeast Alaska. The fragment of leg bone came from a cave on the mainland, just east of Wrangell Island. The cave is a marble tube about the length of a standard swimming pool.
And this DNA, when we were looking at it and analyzing it, we realized this is not bear DNA.
Lundquist and her colleagues realized the bone was from a dog and published their findings in a scientific journal in February. Turns out the dog lived around 10,000 years ago.
That is among the oldest dog remains that we have from North America.
Ancient dog remains are a rare discovery on their own, but Lundquist explains that the location is also part of what makes this identification so exciting. To understand why, we need to look back to the Ice Age, which ended about 10,000 years ago.
During the Ice Age, pretty much most of North America was completely covered in these two big ice sheets. So pretty much there was no contact north and south of the ice sheet.
Basically, a band of ice across Canada and the northern United States prevented the people living in northern Beringia, what is now Alaska, from moving south into what's now the lower 48.
There has been this long-standing hypothesis that as soon as these two ice sheets started melting, it opened up sort of a continental inland corridor. I mean, if you have seen the Disney movie, right, Ice Age, that's sort of what is displayed in that movie there. But more and more, we start to believe that the coast probably started melting earlier and became viable earlier than this inland corridor.
And as the adage goes, a dog is a man's best friend.
Finding a dog on the coast can also tell us a lot about not just the migration and where dogs have been, but then of course also humans, because the dogs, they followed the humans and were alongside humans.
Human remains and tools from various points in ancient history have been found in the same cave off Wrangell Island. The dog bone was collected in the late 1990s by a now-retired earth science professor at the University of South Dakota, Timothy Heaton.
Back in the late 90s and early 2000s, he did multiple trips and excavated bones from a number of caves in southeast Alaska.
The 50,000-odd bones now reside in the collections of the Museum of the North in Fairbanks. The piece of dog femur may be tiny, but it could yield Lundquist a lot of information.
For now, we have just isolated the DNA from the mitochondrion in this bone, and that is inherited from the mother. So it only tells us actually the maternal history of this dog. So if we can, from this tiny little bone that we have left, get some nuclear DNA, DNA from the genome, we might be able to get more deeper insights into the history of this particular dog and the history of New World dogs.
She says she hopes for other discoveries in the thousands of bones from southeast Alaska caves that are left to analyze.
I'm sure it's not the last, and it will be exciting as we hopefully will find the older remains as well.
The cave off Wrangell Island has only been partially excavated. That's because it's a heritage site protected by federal law. Human remains from the site have been repatriated to Wrangell's Tlingit tribe, the Wrangell Cooperative Association, under the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Two close contacts of State Representative Mike Kronk and two other legislative staff members have tested positive for COVID-19 since Kronk tested positive last Wednesday. All four new positive cases are quarantining away from the Capitol. 15 people have been identified as close contacts of Kronk, a Tok Republican, and are currently quarantining, according to Jessica Geary. Geary is the executive director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. The legislature requires that everyone who works in the Capitol, including all legislators, staff members, and news reporters, undergo rapid tests for the coronavirus every 4 to 5 days. This is KTOO News.